During a very tough economic time, jobs were scarce. So many people were looking for jobs. And there was an advertisement from a zoo. They had several job openings. So a man responded to the ad. When he got there, he was so disappointed that the only job left open was to impersonate a gorilla. See, the real gorilla had died. And the zoo was expecting some VIP visitors that day. So they needed a fake gorilla. It was not something that he wanted to do, and the money was tight, so he accepted the job anyway. So he dressed up in a gorilla suit, he swung from tree to tree like a gorilla. All went well. Until he got tired. It was too hot in the gorilla suit. So one time he was swinging from the tree, from one tree to another, he lost his grip. He fell into the lion's den. He literally fell next to this ferocious-looking lion. His immediate reaction was, "Help! Help!" And the lion leaned over him, "Stop shouting. You're going to get both of us fired." The expression 9-to-5 is often associated with jobs, isn't it? Most of us have jobs, praise the Lord. And we typically work 9-to-5. Of course, there are exceptions. If we work 8 hours a day, that means one-third of our day is involved in working at our job. Some of you may be business owners, have your own business. You probably work more from 9-to-5. So it is no surprise to us that God has a lot to say about jobs. We find commands, exhortations, even examples from the Bible how we should behave at our works. So as we continue our study in 1 Peter that the Pastor Jim Murray introduced us, we come to this passage really expressing God's desire and God's command regarding our jobs. Peter is teaching us how to honor God from 9-to-5 at our workplaces. So the title of my message this morning is Honoring God 9-to-5. Our text is from 1 Peter chapter 2, 18 through 21. If you have your Bible open, it'd be good if you have your Bible open. But follow along with me. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version today. Servants or slave, be submissive to your master with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this find favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. But what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if, when you are doing what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. But you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious word that you have given to us through Apostle Peter. Oh Lord, indeed, do teach us. Many of us do work. We thank you for it. So teach us how to behave, Lord. Teach us how to listen to this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the central theme of this passage is that we as employees can honor God by submissive and respectful to our employers. My outline this morning is threefold. The exhortation to submit as employees. The motivation to submit to our employers. The example of submission in Christ Jesus. It is important for us to understand at least a little bit of the historical and the cultural background of this passage. You see, this whole passage deals with slaves, servants, and masters. You might ask, what does this have to do with us? None of us are slaves, in a sense. But today there is still slavery in some areas of the world, isn't it? But slavery is relatively rare in the Western countries. There are laws protecting child labor, for instance, even as far back as the 19th century. Child labor was outlawed. And there are laws against unfair labor practices. But today in our society, we still see trafficking of women. Right? They're sexual slaves. We still people are forced in labor camps. We still people are underpaid workers in the factories, in the mines. You might say they are de facto slaves. You see, during Apostle Peter's time in the first century, slavery was an acceptable or accepted institution of the day. Slaves were very common. It has been said that there are as many as 6 million slaves in the Roman empires. Some speculate 2 out of 3 were slaves and servants. So slaves in those times are not what we typically think of slaves. You know, those are in chain and forced in a work in a horrible conditions. Slaves in back in those days, some were well educated, doctors and teachers. Some were very skilled in their trade. Some even served as stewards in the master's house. Remember Joseph that we studied this last unit? He was a Hebrew slave. But at one point he served as what? Potiphar's chief steward. So slaves were basically the working force. They were the labor force of their day, of the ancient society. It was part of the Roman Greco economic system. Furthermore, slave can become free at the discretion of their master. After they're free from their master, with no place to go, many slaves voluntarily stay with their master. Thus, they become a bond servant for life. A Roman master can even adopt a slave as his son or children and become an heir. They subsequently become citizenship. In fact, it was their pathway to the Roman citizenship. You might say they were the dreamers of the first century. Some slaves were voluntary servants and workers. So when we read the word slave in the scripture, it can be interpreted as employees, not only in a figurative sense, but in a real sense. As employees, we are voluntary servants of some boss or employers. So our main theme this morning, as employees, we are to honor God 9 to 5. So my first point is the exhortation to submit as employees. How do we as employees honor God? One way to honor God is by submitting, obeying our employer or boss. Apostle Peter already exhorted us that we are to submit to every human institution as he begins this section on submission. 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourself to the Lord, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether a king as one in authority. See, as employees, we are to submit to employer. So Peter teaches today, we are to submissive to our master. Not only to the good and gentle, but to those who are unreasonable. I think the exhortation here is very clear. It's also a command from Peter, from the Lord. An employee is commanded to submit and obey. Furthermore, Peter said, not only to those who are kind and gentle, but also to those who are mean and unreasonable. Well, some of you might say to me, Pastor Michael, you don't know about my boss. Oh, he's that mean son of a gun. He's a slave driver. He's unreasonable. He's even abusive. See, Peter's instruction here is so clear that we as employees are to obey our employers. So having a bad employer, a boss, is no excuse. All employees, we have the responsibility to obey and to respect our employer, regardless. Apostle Paul chimes into this discussion about employees. We are to work wholeheartedly as unto the Lord, Apostle Paul says. Ephesians 6:5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. So Apostle Paul agrees with Apostle Peter here in regards to obedience and being respectful to our boss. Apostle Paul continues. Verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly as you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. You see, as employees, sometimes we're asked to do things that we don't like, right? Or we don't care to do. So what do? We do it grudgingly. We do it half-heartedly, you might say. Paul says that we are to do it from the heart, or the Bible's terminology, with a singleness of heart. Of course, unless a boss asks you to do something unbiblical or unethical. But in general, we are to obey and work for a boss wholeheartedly. You know, the idea of doing work wholeheartedly is expressed in the Bible many times. A while back, we studied the book of Ecclesiastes. Some of you may recall. Verse 9 and 10. Chapter 9 and 10. For whatever your hands find to do, Solomon says, do it with all your might. This is the proper work ethics for all of us. We are to do wholeheartedly with a singleness of heart. This is the right attitude, right work ethic for all of us as employees. So in summary, how do we obey? As I said, sometimes we obey grudgingly, half-heartedly, especially for the boss that we don't like or for the job that we don't care for. Employees are to obey employers and to all those who have authority over us. First, we are to obey with respect. As an employee, we are to show respect to those who are in authority and not take advantage of them, certainly. Secondly, Christian employees are to do our job wholeheartedly, with gusto. Furthermore, we are not to do it. The Bible says eye service, right? We don't want to do our job only the boss is watching. When the boss is not watching, I goof off. Oh, I do it when the boss is watching so I can get a bonus, perhaps. At times, you may feel that you are treated unjustly. You are really stressed out at your job. What do? You have the boss that literally worked you to death. You may feel or literally suffering from pain. You may say, hey, I'm ready to apply for that workman's comp. I'm really suffering at my job. But the biblical exhortation is that we are to submit to our earthly masters as long as you are in that relationship. Don't forget, you are a voluntary servant. Perhaps you're in a job that you're not trained for, or the job that you don't really don't like. We can quit, isn't it? We can pray to the Lord that we will send us another job or give you another job. But as long as you are in that relationship, we have a responsibility to obey. My second point, the motivation to submit to our employers. See, Apostle Peter exhorts, but he also gives us a motivation to submit to employers. 1 Peter 2:19, for this finds favor. Other translations as grace, or the word itself is grace. For if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. First, we are to obey regardless of having a good boss or a bad boss. We are to submit even under stress, even under sorrow and unjust suffering. Secondly, we are to do it for the sake of God, for the sake of honoring God, for the sake of a clear conscience toward God. Keep in mind that we as Christian employees, how we behave at our workplaces can affect God's reputation, can it? For an employee not to respect and obey earthly master can defame the name of God. God's reputation is at stake. If we claim to be a Christian and not respect and obey our boss at work, may well cause others to stumble, or may even cause them to reject Christianity altogether. The scripture teaches us where to submit even in most difficult circumstances for the sake of God and his name. Again, Apostle Paul agrees with Peter. Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6:1, all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their master worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching might not be slandered. So the first motivation is for the sake of God's name. The second motivation, according to Peter here, is that we might find God's favor. We might find God's grace. Remember Joseph again. Remember, he submitted to Potiphar. And later on, he submitted to the jailer when he was in jail. And the Bible repeated many times that Joseph found favor with God and with men. Joseph found favor with God and with men. Repeated several times. So another motivation for us to submit is that we might find favor from God. Apostle Paul also adds that there is also reward in submission. That's another motivation for us. Ephesians 5:8. Because you, slaves, know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever they do, whether they are slave or free. So even at our workplaces, if we are to serve Christ and not men, well, indirectly, yes, we are serving men in a sense, but our ultimate goal is to serve Jesus Christ. If we serve Jesus Christ, we will get reward from Jesus Christ, or the ultimate reward, and not our pay from men. So before we go on, let me just to say a few words regarding employers. Are there employers here? Perhaps you have your own business, or perhaps you're a CEO or a supervisor at work, that you have people work under you. You are, in a sense, their master. You have authority over people, so saying. Let me just add a couple of verses. I would not elaborate on this, just to balance out our discussion about employees. So as employers, we too have certain responsibilities. Apostle Paul teaches, masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Apostle also writes in Colossians 4:1, masters, provide your slaves what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Now, this is another subject, another sermon for another day. I will not elaborate. But let me just close this discussion. I found this beautiful example of a workplace relationship between a master and a servant. It's in the Old Testament. Boaz. Remember Boaz? He was a Ruth's husband and a grandfather of King David. He was a landowner, so he was a master in a sense. He had servants, people working for him. And this is what we found in Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted his harvesters. The Lord be with you. And they answer, the Lord bless you. Now picture with me, or at least dream with me. Tomorrow you go back to work, Monday. And your boss comes in. Blessing to you. I brought you coffee. Take an extra half hour lunch. Oh, by the way, your Christmas bonus will be doubled this year. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? And all of you employees stand up. Good morning, boss. Blessing to you. May your business prosper. Have a good day. I know it's a pipe dream. But can you imagine this kind of work environment when the boss and employees mutually respect one another? I can guarantee you that would be a much more protective office, isn't it? Peter ends this discussion by giving us even a greater motivation. Peter cites an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's my third point. The example of submission in Christ Jesus. Some of you might be thinking, Pastor Michael, this is not real. Right? If you know my work environment, this is impossible. So in addition to exhorting us, giving us the motivation, here Apostle Peter gives us the ultimate example of submission of the Lord Jesus Christ, verses 20 and 21. But what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his footsteps. Jesus Christ is an example, a perfect example for us to follow. So as employees, we are to be Christ-like. We are to be like our master. What Jesus Christ did when he was walking on this earth is well recorded in the four Gospels. In this particular passage, we see an example of Jesus Christ's suffering and how he responded to his suffering. We all know that Christ suffered unjustly under the authority of the Jewish leadership, under the authority of the Roman government. He also suffered. It's not because of sin. Jesus Christ suffered unjustly. He endured the injustice. He went to the cross for your salvation and for my salvation. By following Jesus Christ so that we might also learn to suffer, even unjustly, at our workplaces, even when we are doing right. Just as Jesus Christ gained favor from God. The Bible said God exalted him. We too can find favor when we follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. One might say this is a Christian thing to do. Yes, it is. It is a moral and ethical thing to do. But since Jesus Christ himself did it, it is a godly thing to do, isn't it? We know that Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he was obedient even unto the cross, even unto death on the cross. Jesus Christ remained obedient. You see, suffering, especially in the light of injustice, is not for the weak, but for all of us who are willing to pick up the cross and follow Jesus Christ daily and follow in his footsteps, according to Peter. Let me quickly summarize this passage. Honoring God 9 to 5. Let me summarize this passage with this thought, that we can honor God as bond servants. We can honor God as bond servants. Perhaps we do not think ourselves as slaves in the conventional sense, but we are bond servants of our Lord. So this will be our applications. As employees, we are to honor God 9 to 5 at our jobs. As employees, we must honor and respect our employer or our earthly master. In doing so, we can honor our Heavenly Father, who is our Creator, who is Master, literally, of us all. He is a Lord of us all. So as Christians, we must seek to honor God and our Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do, in all that we are. See, all Christians are bond servants. The Greek word is doulos, has special meanings. Apostle Peter, he begins his 2 Peter, says, Simon Peter, a servant or doulos of the Apostle Jesus Christ. So Peter called himself, I am a bond servant of the Lord. Apostle Paul did the same thing. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Titus 1, verse 1. Apostle Paul said, I am a bond servant. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. But more importantly, we all, us Christians, are bond servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we must honor him as bond servants. This is what Apostle Peter wrote. Act as free men, but do not use your freedom as covering for the evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. So Peter is calling us Christians bond slaves of God. Apostle Paul says the same thing. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slaves. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we are slaves. We are bond servants of God. You see, all Christians are bond servants of Jesus Christ. As servants of the Lord, we are to honor God in everything we do, in everything that we are. Not only in our workplace relationships, but in all relationships, right? In our marriage relationship, in our family relationships, even in our social life, we are to honor God. We are to honor God not only 9 to 5, we're to honor God 24/7. We're to honor God not only 9 to 5 at our jobs, but we are to honor God 24/7. We must first learn to submit and honor our Lord as our Master in heaven. Then we can learn to submit and honor each other. Our goal as a Christian is to do God's will, to honor him. How do we begin? We begin by surrender ourselves. We begin by surrender our all to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, for some of us, or many of us, this passage might be difficult. Perhaps it's easy to understand, but difficult to obey. For we all have bad bosses. We all have bad people in our lives that we do not want to submit to. So Lord, teach us this truth, that we learn to surrender ourselves first to you. We first learn to surrender all to our Heavenly Master. In his name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing this last song. All to Jesus.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessings fall. Surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all, I surrender all. Savior, I surrender all.
Let's pray. Father God, you are a good Father. You never change, grow weary of us, or grow tired of us. If your word says you care, then we choose to trust in that care. We place every burden that we carry in your hands today. We entrust our very soul into your care, Lord. We will not worry for one moment. And we refuse fear, for you, our Father, cares for us and is aware of every critical issue we face today. Thank you for your loving care for us and all that is important to us. Teach us to trust you more and more every day. We thank you in your name. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning and welcome. Thank you for attending the English worship service. Thank you, Pastor Michael, for the message. Today we'd like to invite Matthew Chen to come up and share his testimony for us today.
Hello, I'm Matthew. So about me, I'm a junior in high school. I'm going to be a senior next year. So my testimony is pretty basic, I like to think. It's the usual youth testimony. You know, you go into the youth group, you go to a youth retreat, you experience God there, and you're like, wow, everything's changed. God's amazing, right? So I was baptized around a year ago, and right after sort of that youth retreat, right after, you know, when you say like, oh, I mean, like, in sort of elementary school, when you go to Sunday school, you're just like, oh, this Jesus dude, he's pretty cool. Like, I hear all these stories. Reading the Bible's pretty fun, you know, has cool stories in it. But you don't really realize who Jesus is until, you know, when you hit through your dream, like, hey, this Jesus, this God, he really means something. And I mean, he's really out there. And I think in sixth grade, when I went to youth retreat, when I experienced God, like, I left there, like, thinking, like, I want to change, right? At the time, I had many older boys in the youth group who I looked up to, and I was like, hey, I want to be like them. They're pretty cool. They're pretty cool guys, right? And I was sort of, at that time, still trying to find out my identity, who I wanted to be. I didn't know exactly who I wanted to be. And at that time, I was always... It always was based off the idea that I was a Christian, right? That I wanted to be a good Christian. So I went to school. Everyone knew me as the Christian boy, right? I was super Jesus high. I was like always, like everything I did, I was like, Jesus loves you, yay, to everyone. So everyone knew me as that kid who really loved Jesus, who was really Christian. And they're like, who, if you swore in front of, you should apologize because you might freak out, right? So I was that kid. And I think that was my identity. I was trying to keep up the sort of image of a good Christian boy that people would be like, oh, he's Christian, right? Like, he is a Christian. That's his identity. And I think at that time I was very misguided, that I was too focused on achieving this ideal of what was a Christian, right? You know, following all the rules, going to church every week, attending youth group, whatever, serving. And in that place, I entered high school and I joined a Christian club there. And because, you know, I was still super zealous for God, I would join the leadership at this Christian club called New Gen right away. And throughout that high school experience, there's been a lot of ups and downs, highs and lows, dry places, and very spiritual highs. And in that place, I feel like I have found my identity, that I have realized that I am a son, that doesn't matter that if I follow the rules. It's important that I follow the rules because those are what keep me in his presence. But it's more important that I recognize that I'm a son of God, right? Especially today, it's like, as it is Father's Day. And we are all here to honor our earthly fathers, right? But we also got to realize that there's a heavenly Father, that his mercy knows no bounds. And I think my true discovery of who God is that I didn't really discover until recently that even maybe not even when I was baptized, or maybe still discovering it now, that God is still merciful. I still can't really comprehend that, even though, I mean, I try to escape his grace so much, every time I try to run away, his grace still finds me and still covers me, right? And I think that's an amazing thing. That's the Father's love for us, right? That no matter how far we run from him, he will still catch up to us and find us and forgive us and love us. So that's my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Matthew. Appreciate that. Okay, next up, I have Billy, who would like to tell us more about summer conference.
So a couple weeks ago, I mentioned to you about summer conference, which is coming up next month, actually in about a month from now. So this year's theme for summer conference is equipping the saints for the work of ministry. So I'd like to invite you guys to consider going. It is July 27th through the 29th, and we do this every year. And, you know, if you're thinking about it, pray about it. I want you to kind of think about, you know, what this means to us as a church. We are a missional church, right? So we're a church that really focuses on reaching out to our communities, to the world, wherever God has placed us. And that could be, you know, here at work. It could be at school. You know, he could be sending us to South America or Africa or China and wherever he wants to place you, but wherever you're at, God has placed you there for some reason. Kind of consider, how do we make a difference in where we're at? You know, there's a reason why we're placed here. So I'm going to show you a video for summer conference. It's going to ask you this one question. How should we view ourselves in light of who we are in Christ? Can you just go back to that slide?
You know, you don't put your Christian hat on at church and then show up at work and put your work hat on. You're wearing your Christian, your Jesus hat, whether you're at church, whether you're at work, whether you're at your workout gym, whether you're on your teams, whether you're, wherever you're at. So in essence, wherever God has called us to serve, that's where he's called us, and that's where we're called to be missional. Wherever you're at, that's where you're meant to be, and that's where you're meant to serve faithfully. So understand that wherever you're called, the King Jesus himself has specifically placed you there. Know that it's exactly where you're supposed to be.
So registration is, I believe it's already started. So please sign up for it. And as you can see, not only do we have some fun, we have some games, we have some time together, but it's also a time for us to be able to come together as a congregation, as a church body, and be able to learn from the Word of God. So if you have any questions, feel free to look for me, and thank you for your time.
All right, thank you, Billy. All right. So after we're dismissed from here, we're going to have, wow, I think the fathers, there's something special happening on this side, inside the fellowship hall. So look forward to that. There's also going to be Sunday school. And I think if I've stalled long enough, there's also a Father's Day video that we'd like to show. I think we had a preview of that earlier.
I love you, Daddy. The tickle makes me laugh.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. I like it when you whistle with me, Daddy. Love you.
Thank you for giving Daddy some treats, and I love you, Daddy. Happy Father's Day.
I go to Kiss Country, draw pictures for Daddy. Happy Father's Day. I love you, Dad.
Daddy. Happy Father's Day, Daddy. Happy Father's Day. I love you, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy. I like to play fun roller coaster games, and I liked it. Happy Father's Day.
Hi, Daddy. Happy Father's Day. I like it when you play basketball with me.
I'm happy the way you have me. Happy Father's Day.
Papa, ni, wa, ai, ni, ni, xie xie ni, gei wo, mai, mai, gei wo, hen, hen, hao, de, dong, hen, chang, wo, xie huan, de, dong, xi, gen, zai, dai, wo, jie, hen, hao, huan, de, dong, xi, de, di, fan.
Hi, Daddy. Thank you for playing with me. Happy Father's Day.
Hi, Daddy. This is me, Brendan. Thank you for fighting with me, and that make me so happy when you fight with me. Happy Father's Day, Daddy.
I love you, Daddy. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Thank you for bringing me to places I want to go. Father's Day.
I like to play basketball with my daddy. I love you, Daddy. Happy Father's Day. You're the best.
I like to ride with my dad, and I like to play sports with my dad. Happy Father's Day. I love you.
Happy Father's Day.
I love to play badminton with my dad.
Happy Father's Day. I love you.
Hi, Daddy. I like to hang out with you, and thank you for making my life better. I love you. Happy Father's Day.
I love you, Daddy. Happy Father's Day.
My dad always has time for me to play soccer, and I think he uses all his time for me and my brother, and he's really helpful. I love you, Father.
I like it that my dad plays with me. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. I thank my daddy for teaching me piano and motivates me to do a lot of challenges, which I already conquered. And also, I thank my dad for everything he did to me. And I just thank God for having this dad take care of me. Happy Father's Day.
I love my daddy because he plays basketball with me. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you for taking me to dance every week. I love you. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
I'm thankful that my dad takes care of us. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. I love it when you tell jokes and when we play basketball together. You're the best. Love you.
My dad is a really hard worker. He works every day, and he just does so much for my family. He is like super kind, and I love him a lot. He is super, 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 super kind and helpful. He's super, well, I said it before, he works every day. He does lots for the family and the house, like, and then, yeah. Happy Father's Day.
I love my daddy because he is very funny. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Pastor Jin?
Let's have some time for silent prayer and then we'll close out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for the fathers in our midst, to our fathers who have been such good examples for us of provision and sacrifice and love and care. For those of us who are fathers, we are blessed to be fathers. And we pray that you help us to be good fathers. And just thank you for just calling us to the places that we're at, whether they be at work or at home, whether as employees, employers, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, Lord, just to help us to serve well in the places that you've put us and to honor you above all. So thank you, Father. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.